Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with T. Frank Carr. This is quarter number one, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. This is where you can drive your car to Happy Valley for a game, and an RV is all set up and waiting for you. No hassling with parking, as a shuttle, stocked with Labatt beer, will take you to and from the game. Tailgate all weekend, and for more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 800-519-8467 for all the details. T. Frank, are we ready to do some scouting reports today?
Always. I don't know that I've left my seat at my desk for the month of July. This has been insane.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. I'll tell you why it's worthwhile. This week, I received a note from a listener right after the Dennis Sutton commitment, and it just simply read, "Can't wait for T. Frank's scouting report." That was
it. Oh, thanks. That's so nice. I'm glad that people like this stuff because, like, you know, nobody's doing something like this, like what I'm doing for the most part, that's as in-depth or with as much video. So I'm glad it resonates because when you're doing something that nobody else is doing, you do wonder, like, oh, no, should I be doing this? And that is awesome. So thank you very much.
Well, I understand and I relate to what our listeners are saying because I'm the same way. I now talk to other people about these guys who committed. I start reciting the things that you said, T. Frank, to make it sound like I know what I'm talking about, okay? And I'm so proud of myself when I do that. So I'm sure the listeners are doing the same thing. So, T. Frank.
My backup plan in life was to be a teacher, to be a history teacher and coach football. So really, I'm just teaching on a large scale. So there we go. You know, my goodness, I'm coming off arrogant right now. I apologize.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Like I said, when I repeat yourself, I come off as arrogant and try to let people know just how smart I am. But anyway, let's go forward here. And it is, I've learned, it's not Danny. It's Dennis Sutton.
Yeah.
He is just, this is a huge get for Penn State. He's 6'5", 250, defensive end from the McDonough School in Maryland. The first thing in watching your tape showing him, I know he's listed at 6'5", but on film I was just so impressed by his size and his length.
Yeah, I don't understand why certain players look bigger than they are. And why certain guys, you know, just look like normal-sized football players. But he's an oversized football player at 6'5", 250. And part of that is because his frame is so big. And I do think he can grow into whatever size they want. He could probably grow to the point that he's 280, 290, and could reasonably play a 5 technique or even kick inside to a 3 technique. That's not where he should be. That is not at all what his skill set is, and his frame is great, but you don't want to do that. But I do think he has the potential to develop into an ideal-sized, strong-side defensive end, 275 pounds of raw strength and length.
And you mentioned playing inside. That was one of the things on his tape. He was mostly playing on the inside. Not only that with the tape, but it was also not from the 2020 season because he didn't have one. This was from 2019. So we were looking at this huge kid as a sophomore, right?
And he was that big as a freshman. So because of that, and of course, why would the most important commit since Micah Parsons not have played last year, right? Why wouldn't I have available footage that's as recent as possible for that one? But because of that, I went back and I looked at his freshman tape as well to get kind of a historical context, and he was that big as a freshman. So he is a big dude who's been big his whole life, and he has developed over time to be that guy. So when you're looking at that, the projection is That was his tape from his sophomore season. And because McDonough didn't play in 2020 because of COVID, and they didn't opt into the spring football season, we don't have any of that available tape, so we don't know what he's done since then. We have a little bit from this offseason when he went to the camp circuit and blew up to the point that he became a five-star, was dominating camps. So all the projection is good and hopeful, but there is that element, that layer of that, that I think is really important context to deny Dennis Sutton, both pro and con, because a lot of the stuff on tape, when you look at him, it's not perfect, and you can see it getting better. You can literally see from beginning to end, and there was a lot of tape of his sophomore year available, you can watch him, the light come on, and him use his hands and use his length and his power to be almost unblockable as a pass rusher at times. But there is a good bit of inconsistency, and as long as you have the context of that is sophomore film and he's developing as a football player, we just haven't seen it yet, that gives you a much better, broader perspective of what we should expect going into his senior season this fall.
Now, he's projected, of course, as a defensive end. I would assume that a lot of times when you have a high school kid with this much talent, you place him at defensive end, he just wants to get to the quarterback, and that's what you see. The fact that he's playing on the inside, he's got to be very run responsible. I would imagine, even though you'd rather see him playing defensive end where he'll eventually be in college, playing on the inside, it's going to promote that run-stopping ability.
Yeah, so one of the comparisons I'll make to the last five-star that Penn State got in Micah Parsons is you typically don't go from closer to the ball to farther away. So if you're a safety, you can become a linebacker because you don't necessarily have the speed and range to play safety, but you might be able to grow into a linebacker. You definitely don't go from defensive tackle to defensive end for the most part. Certain special athletes can do that. Micah Parsons went from defensive end to linebacker. He had the athleticism to do that. Denai Dennis Sutton has the athleticism to, you know, that you can obviously see on film that he's playing three technique. He can play defensive end. And that makes pass rushing easier, and it makes his responsibilities as a outside run defender a little more clear. It's different. I wouldn't say that it's easier because there are different challenges of being put in space more often as a defensive end, but you're absolutely right. When it comes to being able to take on blocks and contact, he's not a speed rusher to begin with, but he's had that training at defensive tackle to really know how to anchor against power and make sure he holds the point of attack. So those run skills will absolutely translate to the edge. Then it becomes knowing what the boundaries of his skills on the edge are. Can he play in space? Can he play as that read defender in the option game with the quarterback? Because that's one thing that I want to see a little bit more of is if he's put in space and essentially like a slot corner, he's given a two-way go and he has to defend multiple angles. Can he do those things? But he's so long and so powerful that he can win so quickly, it might not be as big of a deal as that. And then it becomes, again, building out the full athletic profile and some of the unknowns that we're looking at when it comes to those things.
You talked about his ability to use his hands. Is that an unusual skill for a player this young?
Yes and no. It's reasonable to see the early development of it. So it's reasonable that you want to see a conscious attempt to use your hands. I would say it's rare to see someone be so effective with it so quickly. He took to it in his sophomore season very quickly, and then it developed pretty rapidly, where it became a strength in his game. So that part is rare, and then knowing he's had the last year and a half of only development. So the implementation we do need to see, but we have positive signs of the implementation in his sophomore season. But he spent the last offseason learning how to use his hands, and some of the rivals camps that we got footage from this offseason, the way he used his hands and he used his length in one-on-one pass rushing situations from the edge, I mean, it was super impressive. It was difference-making sort of abilities, which, again, if we're talking about trying to find the clues of how he's developed, he's gotten a little more explosive, and he's gotten a little bit better with his leverage as far as making sure that at 6'5", and a big 6'5", he doesn't give up his chest too quickly to the offensive lineman. He does a much better job, you know, in the in the testing situations of keeping his pad level down and using his length and size, now it becomes implementation in real game scenarios and situations on the edge, and that's really what I want to see. I want to see what the high end of his pass rushing skills are, because they are impressive from a physical standpoint, and then, you know, the ceiling, how close is he going to be by the time he gets to Penn State? That's what I want to know, because that will then determine whether or not you should expect him to be a guy that can step on campus right now and play, because physically he can. Then it becomes, does he know the position? Does he know how to be effective? And that'll determine a lot of whether or not Penn State has a premier edge rusher to replace Ebikidi and Isaac and the guys that are coming up right now. And, you know, the young guys they have, Bryce Mistella, Devon Townley, their development curve and all that's an unknown. When you have a five-star, you want to know how quickly they can translate to the field.
You alluded to it a little bit, but tell us more about, it seems like a lot of these guys who are tall, you know, 6'5", when they're coming out of high school, it's a common trait that they play too high. How easy is it to fix that?
It's a common trait for most defensive linemen, so I want to start with that, that most defensive linemen, listen, it's unnatural to play in a football stance. Being in an athletic sports football stance is very, you have to be very body conscious. It has to be a natural thing. To me, it's very predatory. It's something that you've got to know how to do kind of instinctively, of being able to have a forward lean to your body and your momentum without being on your toes and falling over. So if you want to play with power and you want to play with your lower half, you have to make sure that you keep your chest low underneath your pads without falling over. So it's a balance thing. It's a flexibility thing. And when you're tall and you've spent a lot of time developing muscle, as he has, sometimes that part just lags behind. So it is absolutely something he can work on. And I've seen some of his workout videos and some of the training stuff. It's something he is working on. But there is, I think, some players that have a natural stiffness to their frame, a linear sort of build to the way that they are. There's a little bit of that involved, but you can work on that, and you can become more flexible, and you can overcome that, especially at his age and his development pattern, because he's still so young and his body is developing. So there's still time that he hasn't become, you know, something that's hard to reverse. Like I talk a lot about football quarterback footwork. It's kind of the same thing of how long does it take you to undo that growth pattern? There's plenty of time for him to do that, and I think he already has been in this offseason. So that's another thing that I'll be looking for, is what does the pad level look like? Does he have that natural bend? You've seen it before when his, you know, the back is bowed, the pads are low, and you win that leverage battle. That's what you're looking for. That's going to be one of the keys that I see the consistency of that his senior season.
All right. Thank you very much on that one, T. Frank. Next segment, we're going to talk Cam Miller. Stay tuned. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.